Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. It's Triple Play Thursday. Triple Play Thursday. Paul requested some Boy George for Triple Play Thursday. That's a deep cut right there from Boy George. I don't know if I know that song. What year is that from, Dan? What's the background on that one?
I will have to look it up. The song is entitled Don't Cry.
Don't Cry. By Boy George to kick off Triple Play Thursday. All right. Did Paul request just Boy George?
Yes.
So no Culture Club?
Correct.
Ooh.
At least they are listed as Boy George on the links he sent me.
Okay. Getting deep cuts here from Boy George, man. You don't even play around. All right. Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number and the text line. We'd love to hear from you. Today would have been George Carlin's 79th birthday. We're going to pay tribute to George Carlin. We're going to play some of his stuff, some of his clips, and talk about his career and share some stories. If you would like to jump in here with anything George Carlin related, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. He was one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time, and he was a social critic, an author, an actor, you know, starred in many movies, and you know, he got his start in his career early on in the 60s. Much like Richard Pryor, when he started, he was clean cut, he wore a suit, he did, you know, the variety shows of that time period, and then quickly established himself as a spokesman for the counterculture. Started to grow his hair long, wasn't wearing the suits. And by the 70s, he had established himself as one of the most important counterculture voices ever. And his albums from the 70s are still some of the greatest recordings in the history of stand-up. And so many of his routines have gone down as some of the most classic comedy routines of all time. He was born in New York, and he got into comedy very early on. In 59, actually, he met Jack Burns, who was a DJ at a radio station, who he was as well, and they formed a comedy team. And they moved to California, and they ended up doing work as Burns and Carlin, and they were working at the Playboy clubs. They got TV gigs. They did a ton of great characters, and including one, of course, was the Hippy Dippy Weatherman, which became a staple in George Carlin's career. Al Sleet was his name, the Hippy Dippy Weatherman. And when he went solo in the 60s, he started recording records and touring, and that's when he really found his voice and would eventually become, you know, one of the greatest stand-ups of all time. There's no question about it. And he died of heart failure 8 years ago. 2008, he passed away. And, you know, it was he had trouble with, you know, his heart many times. I think during the course of his life, he had, I think, 3 or 4 heart attacks. He had to go in for some, you know, heart operations. It also didn't help that he was heavily into cocaine and alcohol. And at one point, he was addicted to Vicodin as well. So because of his health issues and because of the drug use and the alcohol, that complicated everything. He lived hard for a while, was married twice, lost his first wife, and then ended up meeting a woman named Sally Wade in 1998. And they got married and had an incredible courtship, which was documented in a terrific book called The Letters of George Carlin. And I interviewed Sally Wade when the book came out. The book came out in 2011. And it's a really terrific book that consists of letters that Carlin wrote to her. And one of the things that was great about that book was it was really revealing and kind of stunning, because I never thought of George Carlin as a romantic, at least, you know, in the material that he chose to reveal of himself in his stand-up and, you know, when he did talk shows and things like that. I never thought of George Carlin as a romantic, but if these letters are any indication of that, he was an incredibly romantic guy. Like, you know, very flowery and, like, over-the-moon romantic, which is something that, you know, you wouldn't think when you think George Carlin. So it was a terrific book, and that was the, you know, he spent his last days with her and was in love. And his daughter Kelly now has all of his stuff, and stuff meaning, well, you'll hear about, because one of his most famous routines is about everybody has their stuff. And we'll hear that coming up. It's one of the best routines that he's ever done. It's about, you know, your house is just a place for your stuff. Then you get a bigger house because you've got more stuff, and you just have to keep your stuff somewhere. And it's great. But his daughter is, you know, like, she's got his Grammys. She's got scripts that he wrote. She's got old routines. And this stuff is going to be actually touring around in the country. And I think it's in a museum right now, or they're going to open it up in a museum, I believe, in New York first, so people can actually see George Carlin's stuff. So, and it's his birthday today. He would have been 79, so it's Carlin Day. We're going to take a break here for the news. Coming up, we'll take some texts from you or some calls from you regarding George Carlin. If you ever saw George Carlin live, if you have any favorite George Carlin moments or routines or some of his performances in movies or television appearances, we're paying tribute to the great George Carlin. So, and you'll hear some of his best bits. 312-981-7200 for call, talk, and text. 312-981-7200. We'll pay tribute to the late, great George Carlin on his birthday today. And we'll start that right after we take a break and hit the news. I would give everything I own. Wow. I did not know Boy George covered this song. Was not aware of that. Paul on Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. Requesting some deep cuts from Boy George, including a cover of Everything I Own. I didn't know that. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 334. And coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And at 6 o'clock, with a jam-packed, star-studded extravaganza, Steve Cochran will begin at 6. Make sure you tune in for that. Today is Carlin Day, as we like to call it. George Carlin's birthday today. One of the most important voices in the history of comedy. One of the most important voices in the history of just anything. And one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time. He would have been 79 today. We lost him in 2008 at the age of 71. He was just an incredible talent. We're going to listen to some of his routines and talk about his career. And we'd love to take your phone calls about George Carlin. 312-981-7200. Dan, did you ever get into George Carlin at all?
You know, it was one of those things where by the time I was old enough to be aware of him, you know, it was towards, you know, the tail end of things. You know, he was on the HBO specials, and, yeah, and I would catch, you know, bits and pieces of that. But I didn't know, you know, the legend of Carlin until
right, much later. The actual impact that he made culturally. Yeah. Well, I mean, he did a bunch of HBO specials. He's one of the, I think he had them, if I'm not mistaken, I think of all the comedians that have been featured on HBO specials, I think he has the most. Maybe Robert Klein. I think Robert Klein is up there. I know Robert Klein had the very first HBO comedy special. The very first HBO comedy special was Robert Klein. But I think Carlin had the most, and deservedly so. Now, Esmeralda, did you ever get into George Carlin?
You know, I didn't really. I sadly only really remember him from Shining Time Station.
Yeah, see, now that's what a lot of people remember him from that. And you know, there's also a bunch of young people who don't know who Ringo Starr is outside of that. That's the thing. People are like, who's Ringo Starr? Is the guy on that kid show with the train.
He's the conductor.
What? Yeah.
No, he played drums.
Yeah, he played drums in this little band. Some people may have heard of them. But I always find that really funny when the little kids, you know, kids don't know Ringo and George Carlin, who is, you know, one of his routines is called the seven dirty words, seven words that you can't say on television. I'd love to see some of the kids who grew up watching him on that show watch that routine for the first time.
Right. And that always, because I knew of him, and then I was like, wait, that's not the same person.
Yeah, it is.
And I really, and I was like, whoa, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's an odd choice
to do the kids show. Yeah. But he's appeared in a few movies. He was in Outrageous Fortune. He was in Car Wash, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and Bogus Journey. He was in both those. He was great in that. He started working with Kevin Smith pretty regularly. He was in Dogma. He was in Jay and Bob Strike Back. He was in Jersey Girl. I think he was in four Kevin Smith movies late in his career. And Kevin Smith was like, you know, George Carlin was a comedic hero to Kevin Smith, as George Carlin was a comedic hero to, I think, everybody. And it was nice to see him, you know, in those movies. And so he released a ton of albums, you know, in the 70s. They were, you know, I had all of them, man. I listened to them over and over and over again and memorize all the routines. And again, if you guys want to jump in, we're going to listen to some great George Carlin stuff coming up. But let's take a phone call here. Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick. Good morning. George Carlin and Bill Veeck, two of my favorite guys that we lost too early, both at the age of 71. Mm-hmm. But George Carlin's album, Class Clown, Toledo Window Box, were good. But An Evening with Wally Londo, 1975, is an absolute masterpiece. Excuse me. And he has a routine on there, you know, bodily functions high on the plane, but he has a routine called Yever. You ever hear this in the house? Where are the good scissors? I can't keep anything nice in this house. And so him and Jerry Seinfeld were hopefully friends, and Jerry's probably going, George, you were the greatest influence of me because I became observational humor to those in my generation. But, you know, George was doing that since he was a boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Tony Hendra, have you ever spent time interviewing Tony Hendra?
I've never interviewed Tony Hendra. I've not. I mean, he's
fascinating.
He's amazing. And, you know, obviously one of the Lampoon guys. For people who don't know who Tony Hendra is, he's an important comedic voice in the world of the counterculture, without question. One of the guys that started National Lampoon. And also, if you don't know, I can give it to you this way. He's in Spinal Tap. He's their manager. He's got the cricket bat that he puts through the TV and stuff. That's Tony Hendra. And, you know, he's in Spinal Tap. A lot of people don't know the kind of impact that Tony Hendra made in the world of comedy. A lot of people just know him from Spinal Tap. But that guy, an important voice in the counterculture of comedy. No question about it.
Yes, and Rob Reiner at Spinal Tap. I noticed this cricket bat. It's for affectation.
Yeah,
often in rock and roll, a good piece of wood is useful. But yeah, Tony Hendra, you know, you get him, it's like, okay, him and Christopher Guest probably knew Janet Leigh because Chris is married to Jamie Lee.
Right.
And, he's an untapped resource of a lot of 6 degrees of Tony Hendra, like all the people he knew, Rob Reiner, and, you know, of course, for Spinal Tap. But, yeah, even if Wally Londo, he was Seinfeld before Seinfeld was Seinfeld. So hopefully those two patted each other on the back. Both great, but very similar. But George did it first.
He did. Okay, thank you, Steve. Take care. Yeah, the album that he's talking about came out in 1975, and it is completely full with those observations. Now, he was an observational comedian. There's no question about it. He also loved language. George Carlin loved language. It drove him crazy. He found it interesting. And I can't tell you the number of incredible routines and material that he did regarding the way we speak, the way we talk, and words and phrases. Very rarely did a comedian hit the high notes in that regard. Here he is talking about euphemisms and in one of the many, many amazing bits that he has done regarding language.
For some reason, it just keeps getting worse. I'll give you an example of that. There's a condition in combat, most people know about it. It's when a fighting person's nervous system has been stressed to its absolute peak and maximum, can't take any more input. The nervous system has either snapped or is about to snap. In the First World War, that condition was called shell shock. Simple, honest, direct language. Two syllables. Shell shock. Almost sounds like the guns themselves. That was 70 years ago. Then a whole generation went by, and the Second World War came along, and the very same combat condition was called battle fatigue. Four syllables now. Takes a little longer to say. Doesn't seem to hurt as much. Fatigue is a nicer word than shock. Shell shock. Battle fatigue. Then we had the war in Korea in 1950. Madison Avenue was riding high by that time. And the very same combat condition was called operational exhaustion. Hey, we're up to 8 syllables now. And the humanity has been squeezed completely out of the phrase. It's totally sterile now. Operational exhaustion. Sounds like something that might happen to your car. Then, of course, came the war in Vietnam, which has only been over for about 16 or 17 years. And thanks to the lies and deceit surrounding that war, I guess it's no surprise that the very same condition was called post-traumatic stress disorder. Still 8 syllables, but we've added a hyphen. And the pain is completely buried under jargon. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll bet you, if we'd have still been calling it shell shock, some of those Vietnam veterans might have gotten the attention they needed at the time. I'll bet you. But it didn't happen. And one of the reasons is because we were using that soft language, that language that takes the life out of life. And it is a function of time. It does keep getting worse. Give you another example. Sometime during my life, toilet paper became bathroom tissue. I wasn't notified of this. No one asked me if I agreed with it. It just happened. Toilet paper became bathroom tissue. Sneakers became running shoes. False teeth became dental appliances. Medicine became medication. Information became directory assistance. The dump became the landfill. Car crashes became automobile accidents. Partly cloudy became partly sunny. Motels became motor lodges. House trailers became mobile homes. Used cars became previously owned transportation. Room service became guest room dining. And constipation became occasional irregularity. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization or a wellness center to consult a healthcare delivery professional. Poor people used to live in slums. Now the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. And they're broke. They're broke. They don't have a negative cash flow position. They're broke. Because a lot of them were fired. You know, fired. Management wanted to curtail redundancies in the human resources area. So many people are no longer viable members of the workforce. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. Or they depopulate the area. The government doesn't lie and engages in disinformation. The Pentagon actually measures nuclear radiation in something they call sunshine units.
Unbelievable. Yeah. George Carlin. What can you say? The guy was unbelievable. It's his birthday today. He would have been 79. And we're going to play some more of George Carlin's stuff. We've got a story about the George Carlin's belongings that, in fact, are going to be at the National Comedy Center. And we'll talk about that as well. And if you have some memories that you want to talk or text to us, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Also taking requests for Triple Play Thursday. As well. But more George Carlin on this tribute on Carlin Day, his birthday. Did you hear it? Wow. Sounds like Boy George is angry. I'm learning more Boy George deep cuts this morning. Paul for Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. Has chosen three songs by Boy George. That was called Sold. Boy George is mad. You don't want to get Boy George mad. You know, I do watch the Johnny Carson reruns every morning when I get home. And one of the reasons why we're doing the George Carlin thing is he was on the, yesterday morning, I watched Tuesday night's episode of Carson, and it was a 1985 appearance by George Carlin, and he just his routine was great. It just killed, and he appeared so many times on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson over the 30-year period. He was a guest host a bunch of times. When Johnny would take nights off, Carlin would fill in for him. Always a favorite of Johnny's. And during the time that they've been showing these reruns, I can't believe that Dan, every day since January 1st, I've been watching Johnny Carson reruns.
Yeah, that's every crazy.
It's 7 days a week.
Right.
Because they're on Saturday and Sunday. So every day since January 1st, I've been watching Johnny Carson reruns and loving them. And I think in that time period now, in the 5 months that they've been on, I think Carlin has appeared maybe four times. But the stand-up comedian, you know who's the stand-up comedian who's appeared most on the reruns?
Who's that?
David Brenner.
Oh.
Who David Brenner held the record. I believe David Brenner held the record for most appearances by a comedian on The Tonight Show. I think he held that record. He was on all, and he was also a frequent guest host. I mean, there was a time period where he was actually offered, they were going to offer him the show, and he turned it down. I got to interview David Brenner. Man, that was unbelievable. To talk to David Brenner. David Brenner, man. Comedy. I referred to him as a comedy legend. He got mad at me. He came back and played Zanies. And it was so amazing to see him in that room. You know? I mean, it's David Brenner, man. This guy was going to host The Tonight Show. He's been on The Tonight Show like 50 times. Has played, you know, stadiums. And to see him like 6 feet away from you, you know, at one of the tables at Zany's. What an unbelievable, I mean, that was an unbelievable experience. So, all right, George Carlin, it's his birthday today. It's Carlin Day as far as I'm concerned. And he would have been 79. And some of his the records that he released are just legendary. Starting in 1972 with FM and AM, which I think some people might consider his best album. Also in 72, same year, he released Class Clown, followed by Occupation Fool, Toledo Window Box. Those, and then An Evening with Wally Londo, those are the ones right there between 72 and 75. Those are the albums, the quintessential representation of the comedy records of George Carlin, the ones that in the 70s people would listen to over and over and over and over and over again and, like, memorize every line. When I was a kid, I listened to Cosby, Carlin, and Pryor. Those were the three that I listened to all the time. I knew, and a lot of these guys I shouldn't have been listening to, especially Pryor. But you know, there are some Richard Pryor albums that came out in the 70s that I can't say the title of. There's, you know, that N-word is crazy. There's Bicentennial N-word. There's like, yeah, Richard Pryor, man. But his best album, Richard Pryor's best album is Wanted. It's a double album. And I often said that if you want to see, first of all, watch Richard Pryor live in concert. It was the first concert movie that they ever did. You want to see the most accurate record of the best stand-up set ever. Watch that movie, Richard Pryor Live in Concert, and listen to the album Wanted. It's the greatest stand-up set ever and stand-up performance ever. And there's about six albums that Carlin did that are also unbelievable, you know, recordings and representations of the art of stand-up. He was one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time. All right, here's another one of his classic bits. This is what we were talking about earlier. He was obsessed with stuff, and he has this great routine about you and your stuff.
I would have been out here a little bit sooner, but they gave me the wrong dressing room, and I couldn't find any place to put my stuff. And I don't know how you are, but I need a place to put my stuff. So that's what I've been doing back there, just trying to find a place for my stuff. You know how important that is. That's the whole meaning of life, isn't it? Trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is. Your house is just a place for your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. That's all your house is. It's a pile of stuff with a cover on it.
You see that when you take off in an airplane and you look down and you see everybody's got a little pile of stuff. Everybody's got their own pile of stuff. And when you leave your stuff, you got to lock it up. Wouldn't want somebody to come by and take some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff. They don't bother with that crap you're saving. Ain't nobody interested in your fourth grade arithmetic papers. They're looking for the good stuff. That's all your house is. It's a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Now, sometimes you've got to move. You've got to get a bigger house. Why? Too much stuff. You've got to move all your stuff. And maybe put some of your stuff in storage. Imagine that. There's a whole industry based on keeping an eye on your stuff. Enough about your stuff. Let's talk about other people's stuff. Did you ever notice when you go to somebody else's house, you never quite feel 100% at home? You know why? No room for your stuff. Somebody else's stuff is all over the place. And what awful stuff it is. Where did they get this stuff? And if you have to stay overnight at someone's house, you know, unexpectedly, and they give you a little room to sleep in that they don't use that often. Someone died in it 11 years ago. And they haven't moved any of his stuff. Or wherever they give you to sleep, usually right near the bed, there's a dresser, and there's never any room on the dresser for your stuff. Someone else's is on the dresser. Have you noticed that their stuff is and your is stuff? Get that off of there. Now, sometimes you go on vacation. You gotta bring some of your stuff with you. You can't bring all your stuff. Just the stuff you really like. The stuff that fits you well that month. Let's say you're gonna go to Honolulu. You're gonna go all the way to Honolulu. You gotta take two big bags of stuff. Plus your carry-on stuff, plus the stuff in your pockets. You get all the way to Honolulu and you get in your hotel room and you start to put away your stuff. That's the first thing you do in a hotel room is put away your stuff. I'll put some stuff in here, put some stuff down there. Here's another place for some stuff here. I'll put some stuff over there. You put your stuff over there. I'm putting my stuff over here. Here's another place for some stuff. Hey, we got more places than we've got stuff. We're going to have to buy more stuff.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And it's so true. Esmeralda, don't you think that that is truth?
Oh, yeah. No, completely.
It's just a house is just a place for your stuff with a cover. Oh, man. That's fantastic. George Carlin's birthday today, and we are celebrating it. If you want to jump in with a call or a text, 312-981-7200. If you ever saw Carlin live, I was lucky enough to – I saw him live one time, and it was in the late 80s, and he was phenomenal. It was actually, I believe, right around that time. I believe – that was the special, I think the HBO special that he was taping or was touring for involved that whole theme of stuff. That's when I saw him in the late 80s. So George Carlin would have been 79 years old today. And we're going to hear more great routines. We got a story about what's going on with George Carlin's stuff, his belongings, which you can see at the National Comedy Center in New York. And so much more. We're going to hear more George Carlin. And again, 312-981-7200 on Carlin Day, celebrating the work of one of the greatest minds ever. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next. Yeah, man. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. Here until 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, it's Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And then at 6 o'clock, it's Steve Cochran. It is Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. And the 262 area code requested some Montrose. Yeah, man, Montrose. For Triple Play Thursday, first up there was Rock the Nation, Montrose Rules. You know, that's Sammy Hagar's first band, Montrose. How about that? All right. We are paying tribute to the late, great George Carlin. George Carlin, his birthday today would have been 79. and one of the greatest minds in the history of comedy. And we're going to hear more of his great routines and talk more about him and share some stories. If you've seen George Carlin or you have any, you have some favorite George Carlin memories, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Talk and text 312-981-7200. He did a total of 15 HBO specials. 15. 1977, 78, 82, 84, 86, 88, 90, 92, 96, 97, 99, 2001, 2005, 2007, and 2008, which was his last one. It's called It's Bad For You. And it's as good as any that he ever did. I remember watching It's Bad For You and just, you know, thinking, man, this guy is still got it. So, and you can get all these, they're available on HBO and you can get them. I believe all of them are available on DVD and they're all definitely worth seeing. So 15 HBO specials in his career. Let's see, George Carlin on stage. He was a rebellious performer who delighted in reminding audiences that as much as we try to keep our lives organized, the universe is ultimately a chaotic place. Behind the scenes, however, Mr. Carlin was a surprisingly methodical person over a career that spanned almost half century. This pioneering stand-up saved countless artifacts, including notes, set lists, scrapbooks, tickets, and clothing, even the signs he'd like to steal from theaters where he played. In time, Mr. Carlin's trove will be shared with a wider audience. His daughter, Kelly Carlin, is donating these materials to the National Comedy Center as yet unopened attraction in Jamestown, New York. And since her father's death in 2008, Ms. Carlin has regarded these items as mementos of Mr. Carlin and the fruitfully contradictory nature of an artist and his spirit and his diligent approach to his work. He was a very humble man in the sense that he would never presume that he was important to the world, Ms. Carlin said in a telephone interview. And yet she said this collection showed that it was obviously important to him to tell his story to himself. The donation of Mr. Carlin's archives to the National Comedy Center was announced officially on Tuesday during an event in Manhattan. And the Comedy Center was the acquisition of Mr. Carlin's archives is a crucial shot in the of the authority for this still developing institution, which will probably open late next year. Cliff Nesteroff is quoted here. Cliff was on our show not too long ago. He wrote a fantastic book, a really sort of quintessential book about comedy called The Comedians. And I know that this interview is archived. You can check it out at WGNRadio.com. And if you've not, if you're interested in the world of comedy, if you're interested in the world of stand-up, his book, you have to get it. It's called The Comedians. And he says, Cliff Nesteroff says, it gives the whole thing a lot of credibility that it otherwise might not have had. Without the kind of sanctioning, it would be just another dead-end project. So they're looking for the National Comedy Center to be kind of like a Hall of Fame, kind of like a baseball Hall of Fame that you would find in Cooperstown. And that's the idea. And to have George Carlin's stuff there, that's a big deal. So, all right. I am about to play one of the most famous and classic routines that George Carlin ever did. It to this day, it's still hilarious. The first time you hear it, it's unbelievable. This is George Carlin explaining the differences, and this is a legendary bit of many, many, many legendary bits that George Carlin had. This one is near the top of the list of the most that people most remember and most love. So this is one of his most beloved bits. This is George Carlin explaining the difference between baseball and football.
I'd like to talk a little bit about baseball and football. Starting with baseball, baseball is different from any other sport in a lot of different little ways. For instance, in most sports, you score points or you score goals. In baseball, you score runs. In most sports, the ball or the object is put in play by the offensive team. In baseball, the defense puts the ball in play, and only the defensive team is allowed to touch the ball. In fact, in baseball, if an offensive player touches the ball intentionally, he's out. Also, most sports, the team is run by a coach. In baseball, the team is run by a manager. And only in baseball does the manager or the coach have to wear the same uniform the players do. Can you picture Bill Parcells in his New York Giants uniform? Now, baseball and football are different from one another in other kind of interesting ways, I think. First of all, baseball is a 19th century pastoral game. Football is a 20th century technological struggle. Baseball is played on a diamond in a park, the baseball park. Football is played on a gridiron in a stadium, sometimes called Soldier Field or War Memorial Stadium. Baseball begins in the spring, the season of new life. Football begins in the fall when everything is dying. In football, you wear a helmet.
In baseball, you wear a cap.
Football is concerned with downs. What down is it?
Baseball is concerned with ups. Who's up? Are you up? I'm not up. He's up.
In football, the specialist comes in to kick.
In baseball, the specialist comes in to relieve someone.
In football, you receive a penalty.
In baseball, you make an error. Whoops!
Football has hitting, clipping, spearing, blocking, piling on, late hitting, unnecessary roughness, and personal fouls.
Baseball has the sacrifice.
Football is played in any kind of weather. Rain, sleet, snow, hail, mud. Can't read the numbers on the field. Can't read the yard markers. Can't read the players' numbers. The struggle will continue.
In baseball, if it rains, we don't come out to play. I can't come out to play. It's raining out.
Baseball has a seventh inning stretch. Football has the 2-minute warning.
Baseball has no time limit. We don't know when it's going to end. We might have extra innings.
Football is rigidly timed and it will end even if we have to go to sudden death.
In baseball, during the game in the stands, there's kind of a picnic feeling. Emotions may run high or low, but there's not that much unpleasantness.
In football, in the stands during the game, you can be sure that at least 27 times you are perfectly capable of taking the life of a fellow human being. Preferably a stranger. And finally, the objectives of the two games are totally different. In football, the object is for the quarterback, otherwise known as the field general, to be on target with his aerial assault, riddling the defense by hitting his receivers with deadly accuracy, in spite of the blitz, even if he has to use the shotgun. With short bullet passes and long bombs, he marches his troops into enemy territory, balancing this aerial assault with a sustained ground attack which punches holes in the forward wall of the enemy's defensive line. In baseball, the object is to go home and to be safe. I hope I'll be safe at home. Safe at home.
One of the best routines ever, the baseball versus football routine. George Carlin, it's Carlin Day. He would have been 79 years old today, and we're paying tribute to one of the greatest minds in the history of comedy, George Carlin. We got more stuff coming up here, and we'll talk with you guys. If you got any thoughts or texts regarding George Carlin, we'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday continues, where you choose the artist, three songs, Triple Play Thursday. 262 area code wanted to hear Montrose for Triple Play Thursday, and that's Bad Motor Scooter, man.
Yeah.
Hey, tomorrow's Friday. Fly Jams Friday will commence, and we have other regular stuff that we do. You Big Dummy, that's where we read news stories of people doing really dumb stuff. If you would like to be a reader of one of these stories, find a link to a funny, dumb story of somebody doing something dumb. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com and say, hey, I'd like to read this on the air. Dan will get a hold of you. We'll record it. You read the story on the air, and you get a Lou Malnati's pizza. So give that a try. Also, straight out of context, if you listen 24/7 to this station, whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle like a 9-year-old, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we also have Nick D Show Spies. That's when you become a spy by listening 24/7. Whenever anybody on this station mentions me or the show in any capacity, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right. I did want to mention it's George Carlin's birthday today. He would have been 79, so we are celebrating that birthday and paying tribute to one of the greatest comic minds in the history of the medium, the great George Carlin. And I did want to mention, of course, that George Carlin, one of the most important things in George Carlin's career was that he was the first host of Saturday Night Live. He was the very first host on the very first episode of Saturday Night Live, October 11th, 1975. And I vividly remember watching the first episode of Saturday Night Live, at that time called NBC's Saturday Night, because some people might not know this. Howard Cosell had a variety show called Saturday Night Live at the same time. So it was called NBC's Saturday Night. And then after Howard Cosell's show went off, they adapted the name Saturday Night Live. But for that first season, it was called NBC's Saturday Night. So Carlin was the very first host of Saturday Night Live. And although he didn't appear in any sketches, he did do three sets of stand-up during it. He would go on to host it, I believe, just one more time in the 80s where he did do sketches. I think he only hosted the show twice. You know, obviously, historically, he's going to go down as the very first host of SNL, but I think he only hosted it one other time, and that was in the 80s. I'm almost positive about that. So some of the other things that that George Carlin did right there. We're going to go back and listen to some more of his stuff. Why don't we just let George Carlin give us some rules.
One of the things that kids have to put up with is rules. They're not as bad as laws because they don't really throw you in the slammer on rules, and they're not always written down somewhere. They're just rules. I was never very good at them. Well, I was good at breaking them. But outside of that, I wasn't too good with rules. I just didn't think they all made sense. Some of them seemed awfully dumb to me, rather arbitrary rules. Some of them were good. There were some good rules, no question. No running with the scissors. That was one I never disobeyed. Made sense to me. This will go right through me. What are you doing? I'm not running with the scissors. I was always sure of that. Another smart, good rule, I thought, was no sticking your head out of the high-speed railroad train window. Hey, Dad, good rule. Doesn't want us to get our heads cut off. But they weren't all that good. Some of them were kind of dopey. Things like no singing at the table. What? No singing at the table. Why? One guy with a bad voice screwed it up for everybody else 100 years ago? No singing at the table. Why not? Because I said so. That was always a sign of a dumb rule. Because I said so. You could scream your head off at the table. That wasn't mentioned. Not in the rule. You could stand right near the table all during dinner and sing your head off.
I'm standing near the table during dinner and I'm singing. And it isn't even covered by your rule.
Sit down, you. That was your middle name, you. Another form of torture kids had to put up with, verbal cliches, lazy language on their parents' part. Parents have a way of saying the same thing the same way all the time. Well, I guess if you're going to have to tell somebody something 1,800 times a day, no sense in trying to involve your imagination in it. Say it over and over. Get down off there! You want to break your neck? You'll break your neck. He'll break his neck up the kick here. Come over here. I'll break your neck if I see you up there. And pick up these toys. I nearly broke my neck coming in. That was the only injury I ever heard about. It's the only injury they ever mentioned. The worst one, broken neck. They never mentioned anything you might get. Get down off there. You'll sprain that ankle. Broke your neck. And we never had them in my neighborhood. I never saw one. They just didn't happen. I wondered what they looked like, man. Wow. I wondered, where do you put the sling? That's right. I
couldn't figure it out.
You got to hold it yourself.
I broke my neck. Would you hold this for a minute? Thank you. Okay. The only other injury there ever was, the only injury besides that was a delightful little thing called putting someone's eye out. Put that stick away! Put that stick down! You want to put somebody's eye out? But we had answers for the cliches. We kids, we had answers for them. We didn't get to deliver them. Well, no sense getting beat up 14 times a day. We had answers for every cliche they had. Didn't matter what it was. Don't you understand English? Not fully, no. How many times do I have to tell you? Six. Oh, Ma, I thought you were looking for information. Don't talk back to me. Huh? You're teaching me a language, aren't you? You're telling me no more practicing? You just wait until your father gets home. Oh, great. That dude never comes home. Thanks, man. And then they would tell you to go to your room, as though it were a negative experience. But why did they give you the room in the first place, if it's such a bad spot? Go to your room! Hey, that's where all my stuff is! Yeah.
There you go. George Carlin. He was the best. George Carlin would have been 79 today, and we're celebrating George Carlin here on Carlin Day. Happy birthday to George Carlin. More coming up here on 720 WGN. We do have to break for the news. Yeah. Yeah, man. Triple Play Thursday concludes now. We're coming up. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Thank you for participating. And thank you all for helping us every morning program the music that you hear for the bumps. 262 area code for Triple Play Thursday requested Montrose. That's Rock Candy, man. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Esmeralda, some of the stuff that we're playing here, is it the first time hearing it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, actually.
It's pretty cool. It's a little different than what he did on the train show.
I don't think he ever really cracked a joke on there.
No. Now, he was the conductor. He played the same thing that Ringo played at
right,
one point,
he was right? That tiny little conductor man.
Right. George Carlin was a tiny guy.
Right.
George Carlin wasn't as tiny as he was on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that
was
really...
Was he
he was shrunken.
He was a little dude.
Right, but I don't remember why.
Why he was little?
Yeah, he was tiny. It was like a little toy. I think because he was supposed to be a toy, maybe.
Was the train itself a model train? That's got to be what it was, right? It had to be because he was little, because he was a little train engine, train man.
I guess so. I don't remember. I just remember him being very tiny.
Yeah. Okay. George Carlin, everybody. Today would have been his 79th birthday. One of the funniest men that ever lived. One of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time. We got some texts coming in. 847 area code says, I read Carlin's daughter's biography about her dad. His biggest influence was Danny Kaye. Absolutely true. He tried to sort of mimic the journey of Danny Kaye's career, believe it or not. It seems like an odd... Danny Kaye seems like an odd choice for him to, you know, to be influenced by. But
right.
It's absolutely true. And obviously, you know, the era that he grew up, Danny Kaye was a massive comedy star at that time. So, you know, I think he started out wanting to be Danny Kaye and then like was like, oh, there's marijuana. There's marijuana. And, oh, man, there's a lot of dishonesty in the world. So I think I'm going to go that way. I think I'm going to expose that.
I would have liked to have seen George Carlin sing and dance.
Yeah. He was really wonderful physically. I mean, he did
really?
A lot. Oh, yeah, he was. I mean, his stand-up, you know, he would, like, become different people and characters.
Oh, right.
And he would do
okay.
So physically, he was great. He was, you know. I don't know if I've ever seen George Carlin. I mean, he did move around a lot on stage.
But not
but
in
like
a
in a really very
rhythmic motion.
Now maybe. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen him, if I've ever seen George Carlin dance.
I'm sure there's video somewhere.
There must be. There must be. So if you want to see him in movies, he was in Car Wash. He was in Americathon. He was in Outrageous Fortune, both Bill and Ted movies. He's great in those.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He was in Prince of Tides, and there was a lot of talk of him getting an Oscar nomination for that. He had an appearance in Godzilla, the 1998 terrible Roland Emmerich version of Godzilla. He was in Scary Movie 3, where he basically played the architect. Remember in The Matrix when they find the architect? It's in Revolutions Reloaded. The architect is the dude with the beard who's sitting in the chair, and there's all the TVs. He's in the room with all the TVs.
Yeah.
And he just explains everything. Like it's nothing but expository dialogue for like 10 minutes.
Mm.
And George Carlin played a satire of that. He played a parody of that character in Scary Movie 3. But his best stuff was his stand-up, and we've got a little bit more of it right here. This one is about fart jokes.
Oh.
Hey, 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 time for a few fart jokes. Where would a comedy show be without a few fart jokes? Question. Do you ever have to fart on a bus or an airplane or in some public place? But you hadn't been farting all that day. So you didn't really know the nature of the beast. You only knew there was lots of it. In a situation like that, what you have to do is to release a test fart. You have to arrange to release quietly and in a carefully controlled manner about 10 to 15% of the total fart in order to determine if those around you can handle it. Or if in fact you may be about to precipitate a public health emergency. When releasing a test fart, it is often good to engage in an act of subterfuge, such as reaching for a magazine. Say, is that Golf Digest? That doesn't smell too horrifying. In fact, in an odd way, it's rather pleasant. I think they ought to enjoy the rest of this baby. And it turns out to be one of those farts that would strip the varnish off a footlocker. A fart that could end a marriage. And everyone around you heads for the exits. Even the people on the airplane. As you realize, it is time to review your fiber intake. It might not be necessary, after all, each morning to eat an entire wicker swing set. I have no ending for this, so I take a small bow.
The great thing about Carlin was he was able to do all kinds of humor. I mean, he did, you know, really important political stuff. He did observational humor.
Mm.
He did humor about, you know, injustice, about language, and then fart jokes. I mean, he was not above it. But everybody is, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Everybody, the reason why people are laughing their heads off is because everybody has to fart.
Right.
And it's just... So that was the thing about Carlin. One of the many things that was amazing about him was that he was able to walk that line and do really, you know, intellectual, really smart political humor, and then just like, all right, here's some fart jokes. I'm gonna talk about farting on an airplane for 5 minutes, and I'll kill because I'm George Carlin. George Carlin would have been 79 years old today. Some of his TV appearances, I got some of them. He was on the Ed Sullivan Show many times, very early in his career. That was when he had the short hair and the suit, and he was still, you know, doing kind of the straight-laced humor. He also got on there and started making appearances as the Hippy Dippy Weatherman as well. Three appearances on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. He was on What's My Line, made a guest appearance on What's My Line. Flip Wilson Show, he was a writer on the Flip Wilson Show and appeared many times on that. The Mike Douglas Show, he was a week-long guest. And here's the one that I don't remember. Now, they mentioned Shining Time Station here. Now, he was on from 91 to 93 as the he was the narrator for the Thomas the Tank Engine segments as well. But 91 to 93, he was on that. And he was on Storytime with Thomas as the narrator in 1999 as well. But this is the one that I don't remember. He made a guest appearance on Welcome Back, Cotter in 1978. This is something that we need to dig up. I got to find that. That's got to be on YouTube, right? Don't you think? George Carlin on Welcome Back, Cotter? And this was in 1978. This was like...
As himself?
I don't know. It just says, Welcome Back, Cotter, guest appearance. Hmm. Maybe he did. Maybe he did play himself. Because in 1978 was like at the height of his popularity, especially like in the counterculture, you know, long-haired, right. You know, pot
maybe
world.
He played a drug-dealing student.
Who looked 40 years older than everybody else in the... In the school.
According to IMDb, he played Wally the Wow Weschel. The Sweat Hogs visit a radio station and get introduced on the air. When Freddie gets his turn to talk, he proves to be a big hit, develops a large fan following, but the other Sweat Hogs become jealous of his success.
Oh, I got to see it.
As always.
He plays like a morning zoo guy. He plays a radio
stars always.
Always, yeah. Oh, yeah. So
Everyone's jealous of us.
I got to find... Everybody's jealous. Everybody. So I got to find that. Okay, we got one more clip that we're going to play. One more routine about similarities. That another great piece of observational comedy from the great George Carlin, who passed away in 2008. Today he would have been 79. So happy birthday to George Carlin on Carlin Day, and we'll celebrate more George Carlin. We got some texts, too, at 312-981-7200. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two more texts, then we'll hear one more great clip from George Carlin. It's Carlin Day. Happy birthday to George Carlin. He would have been 79 years old today. We lost him way too soon. And, 630 area code says, Carlin is partly responsible for libertarianism. He pointed out the idiocy on both sides of the coin. Best political comic out there by far. No one will ever live up to Carlin's brilliance. 815 area code says Carlin was gone way too soon, was looking forward to his continued take on things through his older years lens. If there was an observational comedy Rushmore, it'd be him between Lenny Bruce and Larry David. He was a giant intellect. Yes, he was. George Carlin on his birthday. Let's hear one more bit from George Carlin before we call it a day. And in a lot of his stuff, by the way, is available on YouTube. His routines, some of his television appearances, and I would highly recommend it. If you're not familiar with George Carlin, as you should be, check it out on YouTube. And all right, here's George Carlin himself.
Well, tell you what. Now, to balance the scale, I'd like to talk about some things that bring us together. Things that point out our similarities instead of our differences. Because that's all you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality. Anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare the out of the middle class. Keep them showing up with those jobs. So stirring up is something I like to do from time to time, but I also like to know that I can come back to these little things we have in common, little universal moments
that we share separately, the things that make us the same. They're so small we hardly ever talk about them. Do you ever look at your watch and then you don't know what time it is? And you have to look again and you still don't know the time. So you look a third time and somebody says, what time is it? You say, I don't know. Do you ever notice how sometimes all day Wednesday, you keep thinking it's Thursday? And it happens over and over all day long. And then the next day, you're all right again. Do you ever find yourself standing in one of the rooms in your house and you can't remember why you went in there? And two words float across your mind, Alzheimer's disease. You ever been talking to yourself and somebody comes in the room and you have to make believe you were singing? And you hope to God the other person really believes there's a song called What Does She Think I Am? Some Kind of Putz? Little experiences we've all had. You ever been sitting in a railroad train in a station and there's another train sitting right next to you and one of them starts to move and you can't tell which one it is? How about when you're out on a small boat on a windy day? You ever been out rocking back and forth for 3 or 4 hours trying to keep your balance? Rough seas, little boat. Then you get back into the shore and you're standing on the dock and you can swear there was something inside of you that was still out there rocking. Did you ever try to pick up a suitcase you thought was full, but it wasn't? And you go, and for just a split second, you feel really strong. How about when you're looking through a chain link fence? Do you ever notice if you're just the right distance from a chain link fence, sometimes it seems to go, what is that? How do they do that? Do you ever try to tell somebody they have a little bit of dirt on their face? You can never get them to rub the right spot, can you? Say, you got a little bit of dirt right here. They always go, where, here? And you just want to slap the... Do you ever notice how awful your face looks in a mirror in a restroom that has fluorescent lights? Every cut, scrape, scratch, scar, scab, bruise, boil, bump, pimple, zit, wart, welt, and abscess you've had since birth all seem to come back at the same time. And all you can think of is, I gotta get the out of here!
There you go. George Carlin. We had a little, we had to hit the dump button there, Dan, didn't we? We got it in time, right?
We'll find out.
We got it in time, I think. I think we got it in time. There was one little thing that wasn't censored on there. So, anyway.
What are you talking about?
If you were listening on the internet, then you got to hear it.
So, nothing at all.
Wasn't anything. It's George Carlin, man. It's his birthday. He's probably laughing right now. He's like, oh, that's funny. So, anyway, George Carlin would have been 79 today. And Esmeralda, he was a lot more than the little dude on the train show.
Right. Yeah, no.
Did you watch that show regularly?
No, I just remember it being on. And either I remember seeing it after the fact, like as I was older, because I was like, hey, look, that's weird.
That it's him.
What's he doing on there? Yeah, it's George Carlin.
Yeah. I just find it weird that it's George Carlin and Ringo Starr.
Ringo. I could believe Ringo.
Yeah.
But not George Carlin.
To playing the little.
Yeah. Ringo seems kind of like a doof. So. And you're like, yeah, I want to play that.
Yeah. Okay, that was a good Ringo Starr. I closed my eyes for a minute. Yeah. I thought Ringo Starr was in the room with me. That was amazing.
See the jingling of his rings.
Yeah. Peace and love, peace and love, peace and love. Did you remember that video of him saying, I am not going to sign anything. Don't send me anything to sign. Don't ask me to sign anything. Peace and love. I'm not going to sign anything. Peace and love. Please stop sending me things anymore. Peace and love. Please. I will not look at them or open them or sign them. Peace and love. Please do not send me anything. Peace and love. You remember that?
Like subliminal messages.
It was just him, like he was ripping on people for sending him stuff, and then every 2 seconds he'd go, peace and love.
I'm just thinking of The Simpsons with Marge. She sends him that painting.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, the opening bell is coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let's find out what's going to happen on that show. And here is Steve. Hey, Steve.
Happy birthday, George. Yeah. Just so you get ready for that dump button, I'm going to recite the 7 dirty words.
Oh, okay,
and
good.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, some of the funniest stuff, I would say, George Carlin, maybe Richard Pryor, a couple of other people that you just laugh so hard you almost pee yourself,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, they were the best. Those are the two, as far as I'm concerned, the two best stand-ups of all time, Richard Pryor and George Carlin. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing back some of those memories today. Coming up in the opening bell, we have the new CEO of Technori. And believe it or not, he's one of us, former WGN Plus, Tomorrow's Business Today host. Scott Catoon is the new owner of Technori, which is a showcase of local startups. And he gives his first broadcast interview today on the opening bell. We're excited to have him and to talk about the future of Technori, all coming up just after 5 o'clock.
Great. All right, Steve, thanks, man.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. All right. So we've got Fly Jams Friday tomorrow, Esmeralda.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
I've gone 2 weeks, technically.
You have not been a part of Fly Jams Friday for the past 2 weeks.
I was here in spirit with Charles Bradley.
So tomorrow you will be back to being Fly Jams Esmeralda the Heart Melda.
Right.
Because we had Roger Badish in.
Yes.
Did you know what his nickname was?
He told me and now I can't remember.
It's DJ Badass Badish.
It's good. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I will say that when you guys did do Fly Jams the last two Fridays, I did turn into the Heart Melda and it was weird. Because I was just sleeping.
And then suddenly.
And then, yeah.
You started spinning on your
right,
head.
Right, the cardboard showed up.
Cardboard popped out.
It's too bad you went to bed, because I'd imagine that a Heart Melda would have been even more fun on V's birthday.
Yeah.
Right, just, you know, spinning all over the world.
Yeah. Now, you saw Charles Bradley 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, that must have been great.
No, that was good.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
I loved it when I texted you to see if you wanted to just call up briefly, review the show 2 weeks ago. And I texted you at like 9:30, expecting, you know, you not to answer for a while.
Right.
And you answered him right away.
We had just gotten out. No, it was like 10:30.
Okay.
We'd just gotten out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he was quick.
Well, that
he
was the thing.
Right at 9. It was amazing.
That was the thing. You were like, I'm like, wow, it's over already? You're like, yeah, it's over already. He's old and prompt.
He was just 9 o'clock. And his band came out. Everybody showed up. It was insane.
Did they have an opening act?
They did.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and they got off the stage really quickly. Yeah. And
I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised at no opening act for Amy Mann.
Oh, well, that's, I mean.
I would just wanted to see her. I mean, it could have been somebody really great.
Right.
But like 7:30, the lights go down, they make the announcement. She comes out and we're like, oh, no opening act.
How many outfit changes did she do?
She did none.
None. Okay.
Yeah.
Charles had like 3 or 4.
Right.
It was insane.
Okay. Well, you have to change your outfit for tomorrow for Fly Jams Friday. So does Dan. All right. We got a break, and we'll come back after this on WGN.